So without further ado, I am going to turn the microphone over to today's presiding officer. Please welcome second vice president, newly elected again last night to serve another term starting next year, Roger Peterson.
Let's see, is this where I'm supposed to tell a joke or something?
Whatever you like, it's yours.
Okay. Well, it looks like, I don't know if Don is trying to tell me something or what, but it looks like I don't have much to preside over this afternoon. I think she's going to take the chair back before too long. Because you never can tell what I might do with a Constitution and Bylaws report. Do we have an invocator? We do not have an invocator. Do we have a volunteer to be an invocator?
Nellie
Emerson would like to invocate for us.
Good afternoon, everybody. And let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for all the many blessings that Thou has given us and for this organization of the California Council of the Blind and all the people who have come here to learn and to socialize and to present useful information to us. We ask Thee to bless this gathering. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Thank you, Nellie. Hold on here. Let's see. So we're going into committee reports, I guess, eh? And do we have our Mutt Strutt contingent?
They're all up here.
Okay. So we have the real Gita Jackson here, and we have not just coming out of a telephone like we did the other night. The first item among the committee reports. So this is kind of part of the business meeting. Should be considered part of the business meeting. Is a report on the Mutt Strutt for 2013. And to give that report, we have our statewide coordinator, Gita Kevlin Jackson, and we have the people who were the chairs for the three local places, the three local venues. So how do you guys want to work it? Do we start out with Gita? I'm hearing yes. So, Gita, welcome. I told Gita, you know, that she used to work for Warner Brothers, and I told her that I really appreciated all those nice classical tunes in the cartoon.
That's right.
Programs and everything. And that must have been her fault, her credit to her for that.
Bugs Bunny used to sign my check. So.
Oh, good, yeah. Good.
This year, this Mutt Strutt was a huge event, and it was most successful fundraising event. And what we have here we go. What we have here is we have Frank Welty from San Francisco, the chair, Jeff Tom, the Sacramento region chair, Ken Metz, the LA region chair, and Peter Perdini will be giving us a quick report on the finances. Just wanted to go ahead and start working on just asking a few questions on how this event became successful and what we need to do to make it just a little bit more successful next year. So I'm going to start with Frank. And Frank, I want you to give me a little bit of information about the venue this year and how that worked out for you.
Well, this year we had a new venue for the San Francisco Regional Last year, we had done a walkabout on San Francisco's Civic Center Plaza, which is right next to City Hall. This year, we went to a place called Lake Merced, which is a park that is very popular with runners. Runners like to run around the lake. And so we had not only a good running trail, but also a large parking lot where we had lots of room to set up our event. So we had, so for the first time this year in San Francisco, we had an actual race that was run by a professional timing company. So we, in order to encourage serious runners and other enthusiasts to participate along with just people from our community and people that we know. Now, that was a very big step for us because it was a different venue than we had before, and it was set up for a running event as opposed to just more of a simpler walk event, and it was a step forward that we needed to take for the event to grow for the long term, and it was a step that the other regions had to tackle as well.
How will you be improving overall participation next year?
We have several thoughts because we had the lowest participation of the three regions. And our goal for next year is to reach out to both the running community and the dog enthusiast committee. We had some experiences this year that gave us better ideas for doing that next year. For example, in the case of the dog community, we happened to learn nearly at the last minute about a really neat event called the Million Dog March. And it was a big outdoor event at another park, not Lake Merced, but another park, with lots of dog organizations. And one of our members went and scoped it out. And hopefully if they have another event like that next year, we'll be there. Maybe we'll even have a table. Also, we got an idea from another person who suggested that in order to contact dog clubs, that we research them on the American Kennel Club's website. We hadn't even thought of that. That's something we will do next year to work earlier to make contacts with dog clubs to get them aware of our event and to encourage them to organize teams from their clubs to participate. And then finally, this year we had posted our event to running calendars in the area to let runners know about the date of the race. But we got a great suggestion from somebody who suggested that starting maybe a month or so before our race to actually start visiting other races in the area to pass out flyers so that we can actually meet runners in person and invite them to come to our event. So we're going to try those three things, and I think that will really do a lot to increase our participation in a big way.
Great. Thank you, Frank. Ken, I'd like to have you explain a little bit about the venue and, in particular, the support of the parks and the reason that made LA's Mud Strut such a success.
Thank you. I think one of the greatest things we had was, two things. One was our, and we'll get into that later, community support, which helped. But the venue was incredible because we had a park supervisor that was worth his weight in gold. Anything we needed, he was there to assist us. He was always willing to get different things for us, whether it had to do with some of the little tents to keep some of the shade there since it was like 100 degrees that day. If not a little more. Mm-hmm. He helped us with a little vehicle that he was able, a gator, I guess it's called, and he was helping us move tables and chairs. The park district provided other tables and chairs for us so that we didn't have to pay for them. And he was just tremendous in anything we needed to be done, including setting up the storage area that they have. He let us bring stuff in a few days ahead of time so that we could actually do all of our wag bags right there at the park and assemble them. And he also allowed us to, as I say, to store everything. And he even allowed us to put some banners up, a couple of banners up on their fences. Actually, they did it for us. We got the banners and they put them up. So almost anything we needed, he was right there. And on top of all that, he supplied us with information regarding volunteers that we needed. And it ends up that my wife was in charge of volunteers on our committee. And we went down there, and Jason introduced us to this lady that runs a group called Prom Plus, which is a group of teenage volunteers. And we didn't know at the time when we met her, but found out that she was also the editor of the Crescenta Valley News. And so we were able to get a couple of stories in there because of it. And she also supplied something like 50 or 60 teen volunteers, and also supplied us with oranges from some of the various neighbors' orange trees down there, and also found the contact for the Crescenta Valley High School Jazz Band. So we actually had an hour of great music, including the beginning with the national anthem. But this was all created because of the help that we got from Jason Hauser, who was the manager at that park. And so it was just incredible to see how they went right along with us and helped us with anything they could to allow us to be successful.
Thank you, Ken. Now, Jeff, you did something a little bit differently in Sacramento. Why don't you tell us about the pancake breakfast?
Okay, well, we... Whoops, I'm not...
There we go.
Hold on. Okay, now I think I am. Yes, we were really thinking about what we could do. The last couple of years, we had hot dogs, and you know, people just didn't really want hot dogs at 10:30 in the morning when the race ended. And so we decided, what could we do differently? And we thought, okay, a pancake breakfast would be a really cool idea, but we knew we didn't want to have it if we had to pay for it, because you know, we're here to make money, and we have enough risk involved that we knew we needed a partner that would help us do this. So we reached out, and we got a Lions Club that was willing to pay for it and do a lot of the work as well. And so they put on the pancake breakfast with a little help from some of our own people, and you know, it was all underwritten. The foods they didn't provide, we got donations from other sources, so we didn't spend a dime on that aspect of the event. There was a covered gazebo area where people could eat, so you know, the heat wasn't a huge problem for that part of the event. And I think it engendered a real sense within the community that it was more than just a run. And so I think this is something that we hope we're going to be able to continue in future years, to make it the type of community event that people throughout the community of Citrus Heights will come to, have a chance for a little breakfast, you know, after they get through with their walk or run. And I think it's going to be an ongoing part of our event.
Thank you, Jeff. And also, too, we were talking on the steering committee. What can be accomplished next year as far as lowering the funds needed to put on a mud strut? Jeff.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
And in terms of lowering the funds, I'm sorry, what did you...
Yeah, how can next year be accomplished with a minimum of funds?
Well, one of the things that we did, for example, and we're going to need to do more, but we had donations from a number of Lions clubs. We wanted to do some things. For example, we put up some balloon arches for the start and finish lines because they look very cool, and you need some visual aspects to make these events pleasing to the community. And we got that almost entirely paid for through donations. We had, like, in addition to the Lions Club that put on the breakfast, we had donations from, like, four different Lions clubs who donated money for this event. So, but we need to do more. We need to start earlier in going to these organizations. We need to get people to drive us so we can get there some of the time, depending upon where they are. And we also need to work on getting more state and local sponsors that will give us more donations for next year. But the fact that we've built the infrastructure this year, and that we don't have so many challenges to overcome early on in terms of getting our venues together and things like that will make it much easier next year for us to concentrate on this type of funding.
Awesome. Thank you. Also this year, in addition to the timing companies, we also decided that in order to be an actual run, walk, race, we were going to get medals and ribbons. And we got ribbons, and we were able to give a ribbon to everybody who participated, whether they ran or whether they walked. And then we had different structures on the medals, but I guess from what I understand, the medals were beautiful. But so, Frank, you tell me about how it went with the ribbons and the medals.
The thing about the ribbons and the medals is that, of course, the ribbons themselves are not individually so expensive, and they give everyone something to take away when they finish their race. And the ribbons give a chance for people to get some recognition for what they do, so that it's not just an empty run. For example, we had, and it also gives a chance for people to celebrate participation, whether they win or not. We got a lot of pleasure this year out of the fact that one of our winners was Peter Pardini. And we had a couple of young girls, I think like 9-year-olds or so, that won in a couple of other categories. So we saw a variety of people winning, both serious runners and not so much so. And I think that really gave that extra sense of it being something special and something memorable, that there was a way to commemorate it.
Yes, I think you're right.
Can I tell a funny story about a medal?
Please.
Well, one of our winners, many of you know Joe Smith. Joe Smith has been a member of this organization for, well, I don't know, longer than I've been around. So apparently, he was the second place winner in the 2K, and apparently he had gone to the restroom and never heard his name announced. And we didn't see him, so we thought he had left. So a couple weeks later, I finally give him, you know, I told him he had a medal, and a couple weeks later we finally connected, and I gave him his medal. And he's like, wow, these are the coolest medals. I'm really thrilled. He was really surprised and pleased at how beautiful the medals were. So, you know, and this came from a member of the organization, not just anybody. So, you know, I think it's great that we have those medals. And other people told me the same thing, how really nice it was to get something that looked so cool.
I'm glad to hear that. That's one of the nicest stories. Even though this year's event was a real success, everything that we did, we learned lessons from. And I think one of the areas that we need to learn about lessons was the volunteers. We had amazing volunteers everywhere. But I'm going to have Ken explain a little bit about what a little bit differently he might handle that next year. Ken?
Thank you. We were fortunate. I believe we had something like 120 volunteers. And it was thanks to several people, but there were two major groups. One that I mentioned, which was the Prom Plus kids. I think they were probably ages 14 to 18, and that was about 50. We also had many, many, many puppy raisers, and that was through Guide Dogs of America, their puppy raisers, and we had some coming up from Guide Dogs for the Blind from Orange County, and I think we had a couple from Guide Dogs of the Desert. But for the most part, I'd have to say we had the puppy raisers helping us from Guide Dogs of America. And I say that because they helped us get some of the supplies with with a truck or two and helped us put the wag bags together. So it was really neat. However, I think on the day of the event itself, we probably needed a little more experience, which I think we now have, so that we next time would better know how to distribute the volunteers, so that it would be more strategic in the way that they're set up to help people and to handle helping with the food items, to be out on the trail to cheer people on. But the ones we did have, as I say, they were very good. We just needed a little more experience, I think. And I believe me, with what we had with all those volunteers, we got that experience. And they also enjoyed the food that we had, because we had gotten donated 30 dozen bagels from Western Bagel. And we also had all kinds of sweet rolls, from muffins from Mimi's, and we had all kinds of other cookies and brownies and mini cupcakes and strudel, and it was diabetic heaven. And we had zucchini bread from Green Street, I think that's what it's called, right? Green Street Restaurant in Pasadena. And we had, you know, so many other things. And I mentioned the oranges before, and bananas. So we did have some healthy stuff. They were called oranges and bananas. But all the rest, the kids ate that stuff up so well, and they enjoyed themselves. And I think they're all willing to come back next year, and we will have a better distribution as to where the location will be for the volunteers.
Thank you. What areas, working within groups, Jeff, I want to find out, how did you manage to, this goes for everybody, but for Jeff in particular, how did you manage to keep people on point and the tasks?
Well, in terms of the volunteers?
The volunteers and your committee.
Oh, and the committee. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What we tried to do was, am I on?
Yeah.
Okay. What we tried to do was give very measurable tasks, and tasks that people, you know, enough so that they wouldn't feel like they were going to be overworked, but enough that they had specific responsibilities for which they could be held accountable. And then if they needed help, we tried to use a team approach, both on the conference calls, and if necessary, I would talk to them individually. But we'd use a team approach so that we didn't want our people to feel as if, you know, having problems with what they were doing, you know, meant that they were failing. But that, you know, we want to be able to help them get over whatever obstacles they were facing. And so, you know, different people had different areas where, you know, we felt they would excel, and where they would do, you know, what was necessary, and had different talents than other people. And so we tried to gear the responsibilities to what they could do. And I think it worked fairly effectively. In fact, we had people that were highly doubtful of, you know, certain parts of the event and certain other people. And by the time of the wrap-up, everybody was like, wow, you know, these other people are wonderful. And so we had far more unity at the end of the event than we did at the beginning even. And that's a real mark, I think, of the teamwork that we were able to engender throughout the course of our committee.
Thank you, Jeff. And now, Peter, I'm going to ask you about the fundraising aspect of this year, Muttstrut, and what can we do as a group, not just regions, but as a group, to improve it as for next year?
Basically, fundraising-wise, our top dogs for the various regions were Elena Thomason and her dog, Tahoe. For the LA region, it was Debbie Cordero in memory of Scotch. And for the San Francisco region, it was Vita Zabali and her dog, Violet. They were the top dogs, and they raised funds using the using the First Giving pages. And one thing that we can do next year is to really encourage a lot more people to use these pages, because it did bring in quite a lot of revenue for the organization. Let me just go through a number of our income for the regions. For the Sacramento region, for the Los Angeles region, it was $6,576 for Sacramento. $6,576 $76. For Sacramento, $6,229. San Francisco, $7,482. For the sweepstakes, we brought in $3,298 for total revenue in the amount of $23,586, which was really fantastic. This was the highest revenue-producing event that we had over the last 3 years. And we all have to be proud of ourselves for raising that amount of funds. LA was $6,576. Sacramento, $6,223. San Francisco, $7,482. And with the sweep, the Great Getaway sweepstakes, we had revenue in the amount of $3,298. For total, in the amount of $23,586. And one thing that we can all do is really help talk to our friends, send out emails, and just get, and really try to get our presence known with the use of Facebook and Twitter, and go after the running communities and the dog groups. Questions will be addressed at the end.
This was a very good year for CCB, and we had the timing companies, and everybody handled it admirably. The job was very well done on all regions, and if we did this well this year, it only goes up from here. So next year, it should be awesome because we can get started earlier because we'll pretty much have everything under control. So next year is going to be an awesome year. So let's get support, bring people around, and just we're going to be 80 years old. It's going to be a great year. So anyways, any questions? Yes.
Oh, she needs to wait for a mic. Yes.
Yes, you will.
Give me a minute.
Hold on.
I need to make a couple other
comments. Ed can only move so fast. the mic's getting over to Christy.
I got it.
I'd like to let folks know that we have already begun the process to look for a fully accessible online environment for fundraising and such. Between Peter and Gita and myself, we've come up with quite a very detailed shopping list of what we want in an online environment. And so we are beginning that process already, just to let folks know. Okay, go ahead, Christy.
Yeah, Donna knows where I'm going.
Yes, I do, and you're right.
Yeah.
It was, I could have raised so much more money, and I was frustrated with the website. Ed was frustrated with the website. I couldn't send emails to my friends and stuff, and if I did, I sent them the wrong link, so nobody, you know, it was just really so difficult. We could have probably raised twice as much money had that website been more accessible. Yeah. And the bad thing is that it was accessible the year before, and I was so happy going, oh my God, I could do this by myself. This is so cool. And I got on the website this year, and I'm like, what happened? So I'm wondering if also we can link the link it to what we're doing with our CCB website in some way. I don't know. It was exciting. It was fun. And I didn't know about getting the medals, and I won first place in the Walkers over 60 in the 5K, and Ed won second place. So we were really kind of shocked. And I'm happy because I'm showing this to my Weight Watchers people.
All right.
Yeah, unfortunately, what ended up happening with that situation, it was even accessible still at the beginning of this year. Sadly, when anything is purchased and split between a couple of different companies after you're on contract, that's what ends up happening. And so we are an organization that believes in full and total and complete access. So we're already being proactive, looking for a new environment, so that it can be as user-friendly as it was in the previous year. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank you. Peter has a couple more remarks. We'll take your
question
in just a minute.
Hello.
Okay, well.
Keith Johnson. What was the process in procuring the parks?
Keith, get closer to the mic.
What was the process in procuring the parks in each region?
Keith, it's Ken. I can tell you in Los Angeles area, we went to L.A. County Parks and Recreation. We were looking at different parks and everything else, and we were having difficulty really trying to narrow things down, getting the right people to help out. And someone had mentioned Crescenta Valley Park. Actually, it was Andy Caruso, who was then still working at Guide Dogs of America. She lived near that park and told me about it. So that's when I went to Los Angeles County Parks and Recreation, and they were extremely agreeable to helping us out. They also said if we come back there, they would consider reducing the cost of the park for next year if it was successful. And, you know, as far as the park was concerned and all the things we've heard, they felt that we were an excellent group to be there. So that's how we ended up getting Crescenta Valley Park.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Who gets it? This one right here?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Thank you. We all can't fail to be impressed with the money that was raised, but I'm struck by the lack of a bottom-line figure. Judging from what we hear about the money that was raised, I can only assume that we made a profit, but I'd love to hear a bottom-line figure and some critical analysis of the overall result.
We don't have the bottom-line figure yet. We are still waiting for $3,500 coming in to under L.A. Region's umbrella. Somebody said, we're also still waiting for figures from our 9 restaurant fundraisers, that we did, 3 in the LA region, 3 in the Sacramento region, 3 in the San Francisco region. Those monies are starting to trickle in. I believe that when Ed returns, back to the office, not next week, the week after. There will be a check waiting for him from Westfield. Peter also is still crunching some of the numbers as we speak, and a security deposit will be returned to the Sacramento office from one of the parks. Because they left the park in better shape than when they got it, so we get our money back. Peter, I don't know if you wish to give more detail on that, but it's not a final figure, folks. We are still waiting for monies to come in.
You know, Ken, if you were a member of a Lions Club, you would get such a fine. And I'm only saying this because Donna came to my Pasadena Host Lions Club meeting, and Ken. Yes. We got volunteer help from 3 of the Leo clubs one of the middle schools and two of the high schools in Pasadena. We have a fund. We also gave some money toward Mutt-Strutt to the region. And two other Lions clubs, I think West Covina and Burbank, also contributed. So Ken, you you owe me because
that's why I didn't join.
I understand. I start telling folks that you didn't even mention the support from the Lions and the Leos. You're in trouble.
I see a tail twister in the mix. Oh, there's also, I don't know if Jeff wanted to, again, money's coming in still as we speak.
Yes,
I don't know if Jeff,
we,
share your porta potty story,
yes,
Jeff.
We have a fundraiser that we did. we were supposed to have our porta potty delivered through some great arrangements that were made at 7 a.m., and it came at 9:30. And so I was out walking, and the people that were there were like, well, we're not going to accept that the event's two-thirds over. So we, so the porta potty was refused and went back to whence it came. And then we fought to get it, and we are getting our 200 and whatever dollars back for the porta potty that never came.
Peter, you want to go ahead?
Go ahead, Don.
Well, I was going to say, and Peter's going to do, Peter will share more on the numbers, but from the figures that we've continued to figure out, and even more so as things continue to come in, I would think, and Peter, correct me if I'm wrong, again, this is not a final figure by any means, but I would think that we are probably had expenses, what are we, in the negative of $1,000 possibly. And again, monies are still coming in. But Peter, go ahead and share a little more to answer that question.
Yeah, that's correct. Basically, again, we had incoming amount of $23,586. Our current expenses were $28,963, but this does not include the additional income in the amount of $2,500 from the Westfield Mall, the $500 from the West Covina Lions Club, and it may not include
the
porta potties, and also
again
the security deposit will be returned to us. So basically, I think this event we'll probably end up losing right just real close to $1,000, even less than that. So I think we're pretty much broke even. I mean,
We
learned a lot. We built some fantastic relationships with the parks, with the community, and we're building relationships with running groups, and we hope to really improve our outreach to both the running groups and the dog clubs. So I mean, in years to come, I believe that the Mutt-Strutt will make a substantial amount of money for CCB. Basically, during these type of events, professional fundraisers state that you really should not expect to raise any funds for the first 3 to 5 years.
Okay, what I would like folks to do is I'd like folks to stand. A number of folks have questions. And what Ed is going to do is he's going to go to those he sees standing and or raising hands as he sees them.
Madam President, just very quickly, Let me say one thing because it's important.
But I didn't give you the floor.
I was going to say if I can.
But you're still talking.
But, yes. I always talk.
I know. Go ahead.
What I wanted to say is the one thing, yes, we may, we could be somewhere in the negative of 1,000 or less. The amount of publicity that we gained from this mud strut is probably the most publicity in the state that we have received in many, many, many years. And I think that helps us for our future because people know us. In L.A., we had newspaper articles, we had radio interviews, we had talks at Lions clubs, we had talks at a Kiwanis club, we had all kinds of things going on that normally we haven't done. So I think that's a real plus because advertising and publicity is not a cheap thing to do. And so if we wanted to look at that as a dollar figure, I think we gained a whole lot in letting the community know who we are.
Okay, Ed is heading over to Judy.
Gita, it's wonderful to have you here in person.
Yes, I can finally see you.
And I'm yes. I have a you know that hot sauce motto that says Mojada Mobera? Well, I think we should have a new slogan for the mustard, which is Morsuna Mobera for next year. Morsuna Mobera for just about everything. And I think, and if we can get the venues nailed down so we can get our brochures, because often what keeps us from getting our venue brochures is, you know, we got to have that park name there. So if we can get those nailed down much sooner, we can get the flyers out, we can print billions, and get our volunteers out there to everywhere. More sooner, more better. Yeah, that's like my. I'm just saying.
More sooner, more better. I think that's one of the things that we were talking about this year is that we want to make sure that everything is done and we'll have that information and we'll be able to print the brochures and the flyers to get that. Yes,
more sooner, like Judy said, more sooner, more better. What Roger said to me right now is it sounds like, you know, we are right at the beginnings of something that's going to be very big, and that's exciting. We also know that, you know, as Christy shared, you know, she believes, and I'm sure she's right, that she could have raised a lot more if she wasn't fighting with the beast this year. And so, you know, we definitely know a number of folks, you know, still were able to raise with assistance, but we know some folks weren't. You know, every board member made a commitment on Thursday night to set a goal of bringing $500 per board member in next year for Mutt Strut. And you know, that's a lofty goal. What I'll share is you know, I made a commitment. I set a goal of bringing in $1,000 this Mutt Strut. I wasn't successful. I brought in half of that. The way I see it is that is half, that is $500 that CCB did not have before. So even though I didn't meet my goal, you know, I did my part just as each and every person did who worked the Mutt Strut, whether they came to the Mutt Strut and walked that day, whether they raised money, whether they brought family. It was exciting for me to hear Roger say, it sounds like we're right at the start of something huge. This could be the start of something big. Roger was singing in my ear now. Any other questions from anyone? Yes, we have someone standing. Great. Joni.
Hi. I was just wondering if there would be any possibility of maybe like joining another chapter with Sacramento or maybe some other chapters out there that don't have a Mutt Strut in their region, if there is a way to put people together so we have more power.
That's definitely something that the chairs this past year talked about. Attempting to bring more chapters into it. Folks have already been brainstorming that. And so, you know, thank you for validating that thought as well. I think Ed is running to somebody else who had a question. But yes, that is, that's definitely being talked about. And we hope to make it happen. We did have San Francisco, I believe, had joined their region, representation from Silicon Valley chapter, representation from Bayview chapter, representation from Contra Costa and Redwood Empire. You know, at least I think there was one person from each, in some cases two. And so we are definitely hear that. We need lots of hands, and not only from our members, but the thing that's been that region chairs and committee members have shared is that we definitely want to see what we could do to bring our volunteers in earlier. But I am so proud of the commitment that all of these people made, every single person, to, you know, put on this Mutt Strut. And everyone, every region got publicity. Every region made more friends. Keith asked about the procurement of the parks. Folks, what happened, at least in Sacramento and in Los Angeles, is the reason that on our request for proposals, when we send them out to folks who are interested in doing a Mutt Strut in their region, folks, this is the reason that we ask you to pick at least two parks, possibly three. You know, people think, oh, that's not necessary, we're going to get this park, blah, blah, blah. Well, folks, you got to have your backup, because what happens is if your first choice falls through, guess what? You're holding up two or three other regions because life happened. And it's not anyone's fault. Things just happen. L.A., I think, went to three different parks before it found Crescenta Valley Park. Isn't that right, Ken? Was it three or two? Okay, they looked at four, and number five was the keeper. Sacramento, I think you looked at two, and yeah, third one?
We looked at a couple. We were certain we were going to use the Capitol, and then we found out that with a running event, it would have cost an enormous amount of money to use security to block off the streets, and so it made it cost prohibitive to do it. And so we had to, it was a good thing we had, and there were other venues too that we had looked at briefly, but it was a good thing we had the park there in Citrus Heights that we ultimately chose. Yes.
So are there any other questions?
Yes, this is Vida.
Vida, go ahead.
In terms of securing a park, is it possible to do similar to a hotel, that you can secure it for a three-year period?
I think that it is probably dependent on each park's each area policy. I know that there are some that say they don't put their calendar out until January of that coming year. We can definitely bring that to the board because it may require, a larger deposit, which absolutely could be budgeted. If you are making that request as finding out if it's a possibility, I commit to you to bring that to the board at our next board meeting.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Okay, we have several. And go ahead and stand, please, so Ed can find you. And
this is Margie Donovan.
Go ahead, Margie.
Thank you. It's fairly obvious that LA has a lot of chapters and a lot of support potentially. And it's fairly obvious that the Bay Area has a lot of chapters and a lot of support potentially. Sacramento only has one chapter. And I'm wanting to know from the team what thoughts you have to help us support our Mutt Strut, since we're only one chapter and it's a huge demand off of the few people in our chapter.
If I could start, and Jeff, I'd like to have you add to it. I think I have to say at this moment, my huge, huge congratulations goes out to Jeff Tom as the Sacramento Region Chair and his vice chair, Paul Patchy. They have their chapter members, and there were a few members of their chapter who participated, but the volunteers that they brought in, they brought in some volunteers because they weren't all members of your chapter, correct, Jeff?
Correct.
Yeah, they brought in volunteers to help supplement the work that the chapter members were doing. So Sacramento kind of showed us, in a sense, that it's great to bring on a couple of core volunteers at the beginning of the process. And so I would say you definitely court your volunteers. What I'm going to say about the LA and the San Francisco region, there are a lot of chapters, as to use Margie's words, in those areas. However, what I will say is, from the three regions, and all three of you correct me if I'm stating this wrong, but in all three regions, the number of core participants that were members of CCB, I believe, was the same in all three regions. So, folks definitely have ideas. We would like to see about getting, a little bit of more of a number of representatives from each chapter to participate. But there was a mighty, mighty, tiny core of CCB members that, were the roots of each region. And I think Sacramento hit it very well in that they brought on Jeff Tom and his committee, Paul Patchy Jr., and his committee brought in their volunteers at the very beginning. And Jeff, I don't know if there's anything you want to add to that.
Well, I guess just a couple things. I mean, it would be a great thing, and I think we've had a little bit of this in the first year to be able to reach out. We did have some monetary support from Fresno. I do want to acknowledge that. It'd be nice if we could get a couple of those chapters involved. Butte County is starting to come back, so it would be nice to see if we can get more chapters involved. But on the other hand, having one chapter mainly responsible for it does give you some, a little bit of unity, because you're starting from a different place, and enables you to be a little more innovative in some other ways. So it's a mixed blessing. There's advantages to everything and disadvantages to everything. And so I don't know that you'd necessarily say one is necessarily, more difficult than another.
Okay.
Okay. This is Andy Barocco. I have two things. One thing is, I was wondering, one of the things that has deterred me from actually coming out and running is the fact that the first Saturday in September is guaranteed to be hot. This is the hottest in Southern California anyway. The beginning of September is the hottest time of the year. And, in the past I used to do a lot of running, and I know that, runners generally do not come out when it's hot. And I'm wondering about the possibility of maybe having it either later in September or sometime when it's just a bit cooler. I mean, you can almost bet that, in the beginning of September, it's going to be, at least in the LA area, it's going to be 100 degrees or more. And the other thing is that, I want to commend everybody who was involved for doing what they did. I think it's wonderful that members, went out there and busted their butts or their tails or whatever to raise a few hundred dollars a piece. But the concept of people walking their dog seems to me to be a moneymaker that has limitless potential. I mean,
yes.
So many people walk their dog. I mean, just on my street alone, and I know it because I step in the dog poop all the time. All the time. And I guess I'm just wondering how we have to find some way to get the community involved. And I wonder maybe if there's some way that we could find a white knight corporation, like the way Revlon sponsors the walk, and Avon sponsors their walk. If we maybe one of the big dog pet food companies or something like that could kick in with maybe underwrite the cost of some paid publicity, like buying some TV time or something like that. Because, you know, I guess this concept of people walking their dogs, it seems to me that, you know, we could be making just so much more money, you know, than we are.
What we're trying to do also is to get advertising into the pet stores, the parks. I'm going to be doing different companies as far as proposals. But yes, you'd think that people would pay for the walking, but they don't. So we have to get out there in dog parks. We have to get out there in pet stores, in your vets, all of these areas. And we have to do it soon. Sooner than better. Sooner the better.
Okay.
Okay.
If there is one more question, otherwise we'll need to... if there's one more question, otherwise as our pan, Roger let me know of our time, so...
Okay, yes, it's Vita.
Vita, go ahead.
Yes.
Well, it's Vita, actually, and then we have to stop. Sorry.
Two things. One is, this has been mentioned in two conventions now. Is the board seriously considering hiring a part-time fundraiser? And this is, and secondly, this is a comment I made at the board meeting, but I'd like to make it here again. I'm hoping that in the board's analysis of the Muttstrat, we are taking into account, one, how many members does CCB actually have? Two, how many members actually either ran, walked, signed up, or volunteered their time? Because as I mentioned, if we have 1,000 members, but only 30 or 40 people really put their time into it, are the members really behind the Muttstrat?
Okay, thank you, Vita. And we did take that that note as well at the board meeting on Thursday as part of what would be included in the analysis. And I'm going to give the microphone over to Roger.
Yeah, boy, you should have seen that executive session. Donna was mean. You know, we did some participation from Silicon Valley, and one unfortunate thing happened was that we had this Christina Wood, who's such an enthusiastic person. She was involved in the Muttstrat, and she also went to the ACB convention and the legislative seminar. Somewhere along the way, she got a job in New Mexico. that happens, I guess.
Yeah. And she keeps hitting me up to give money to the San Francisco Muttstrat.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we are like 20 minutes behind time now, and I think we have some stuff that's going to take some time. So I'd like to move on. Is Gabe here?
Yes.
Gabe is here.
Actually, he's here, not there.
The next item is a very important one for the transition that we're going through. It's a report from the Constitution and Bylaws Committee. And Gabe Griffith is the chair. And we had, you know, you may remember that we started this annual, semi-annual to annual convention transition at the last convention. And one of the things we did was read some constitutional provisions and then for action at this convention. So it's now this convention, and it's time for us to to work on some of that. And then we had some stuff come up yesterday at the Constitution and Bylaws meeting. So I think we're gonna let Gabe entertain you for a while. Go ahead, Gabe.
Thanks, Roger. I don't know how entertaining I'll be, so hopefully everybody got their naps earlier. What we have for you is three constitutional amendments that we had the first reading last spring and are going to do the second reading today along with any discussion and voting. And then, as Roger said, we had several items brought to us in our committee meeting yesterday that we will do the first reading today, and hopefully President Pomerantz will allow us some unscheduled time on the agenda tomorrow morning.
Yes.
To do a second reading and discussion and voting on those at that time. So without further ado, let me begin with the second reading of our items that we began last spring. The first one I have for you is Article 17, Constitutional Amendments. Kind of ironic. Current language, Section 17.1. This Constitution may be amended at any regular convention of the Council by an affirmative vote of 2/3 of the members who are present and voting. The proposed amendment shall have been introduced at the previous regular convention of the Council, and it shall have been presented in writing to the Constitution and Bylaws Committee. Section 17.2, this Constitution may also be amended at any regular convention of the Council by an affirmative vote of 3/4 of the members who are present and voting, provided that the proposed amendment shall have been presented in writing to the Constitution and Bylaws Committee, and that it shall have been presented to the Council Convention at least one day prior to the day on which the final action is taken. Proposed actions: delete both Section 17.1 and Section 17.2 and replace them with a rewritten Article 17. The proposed language of that rewritten Article 17 is Article 17, Constitutional Amendments. This Constitution may be amended at any regular conference and convention, provided such proposed amendment has been presented in writing to the Constitution and Bylaws Committee at least 2 days prior to the day on which the final action is taken. Any proposed amendment shall have a first reading to the convention without discussion, and a final reading with discussion, parentheses, if necessary, close parentheses, at the time the vote is taken. A 2/3, parentheses 2/3, close parentheses, vote of those present and voting is required to adopt a constitutional amendment according to voting procedures contained herein. Amendments to the Constitution and bylaws shall take effect on the July 1st immediately following the relevant vote. The Constitution and Bylaws Committee recommends a due pass, and I so move.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that this amendment be passed. So the relevance this has to the annual convention is that when you only have a convention once a year, you don't really want to wait a whole year from the time you read an amendment till you get to vote on it. So we thought that maybe just the one way to do it would be better. So is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. The ayes have it. Oh, abstentions? The ayes have it. The amendment is adopted. Next game.
Okay, the second item has to do with the Newell Perry Trust, and the reason that this needs to be amended is because it refers back to the one that we just did. So this is going to be Article 4, Newell Perry Endowment Trust, and this one's a little bit longer, so bear with me while I read. Current language, Section 14.3, the trustees shall serve without compensation. Their duties shall be to accept, receive, and hold, invest, and reinvest contributions to the Newell Perry Endowment Trust with interest.
Excuse me, there is way too much talking happening out in the audience right now. Folks, at least some whisper if you have to talk to each other, please.
Right, and I will try to get closer to the mic.
And Gabe's getting
Sorry.
Closer to the mic as well.
As I read, it kind of moves on me. Okay, I will begin from the previous comma. With interest thereon and additions and accretions thereto and such other income that might accrue upon the order of the Board of Directors of the California Council of the Blind shall pay out and distribute the earned income for the purposes set forth in this article. The Board of Directors shall not order the expenditure of the corpus unless a constitutional amendment is adopted for that purpose, which must be proposed at the regular constituted convention prior to the regular constituted convention at which such amendment is adopted as provided in Article 17, Section 17.1 of this Constitution. Actions. Replace the comma after the word accrue with a period and delete the remainder of the section. That is, upon order of the Board of Directors of the California Council of the Blind shall pay out and distribute the earned income for the purposes set forth in this article. The Board of Directors shall not order the expenditure of the corpus unless a constitutional amendment is adopted for that purpose, which must be proposed at the regular constituted convention prior to the regular constituted convention at which such amendment is adopted as provided in Article 17, Section 17.1 of this Constitution, and replace it with, upon the order of the Board of Directors of the California Council of the Blind, the trustees shall pay out and distribute the earned income for the purposes set forth in this article. The Board of Directors shall not order the expenditure of the corpus unless a constitutional amendment is adopted for that purpose as provided in Article 17 of this Constitution. So the proposed language is Section 4.3, the trustees shall serve without compensation. Their duties shall be to accept, receive, and hold, invest, and reinvest contributions to the Newell Perry Endowment Trust with interest thereon and additions and accretions thereto and such other income that might accrue upon the order of the Board of Directors of the California Council of the Blind. The trustees shall pay out and distribute the earned income for the purposes set forth in this article. the board of directors shall not order the expenditure of the corpus unless a constitutional amendment is adopted for that purpose as provided in Article 17 of this Constitution. The Constitution and Bylaws Committee recommends a due pass, and I so move.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to adopt this this provision. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in... What?
Steve Mendelson.
Okay.
What about second? What?
Yeah, no, I was just looking at it.
There was a second, and Steve...
There doesn't even really need to be a second for a committee motion. Is that just, okay, where's, does he get a mic?
Yes.
Okay. Steve.
Thank you. The reference, two references problematical, it seems to me. First of all, the reference to the paying out of the earned income from the trust according to the purposes set forth in this article. But it's not clear what those purposes are. There's no indication, at least, in what Gabe read as to what those purposes are. So that would be a problem. And second of all, the reference to earned income is gratuitous. Income is income for the purposes of this amendment. And to draw an artificial distinction unintentionally between earned and other income is not wise. Third of all, the long-term problem that you have, I think, is the question of how and when it may be necessary to use the income from the trust, or indeed it may well be the case that it would be necessary to use the proceeds of the trust for organizational purposes, which have not necessarily been contemplated heretofore. And I think you want to consider, although not necessarily in this amendment, but perhaps in a later amendment, the question of making sure that the trustees are authorized to take such action as may be necessary to do that, including the possibility of having to go into court and break the trust under certain circumstances.
Mr. Chair, may I respond?
Gabe wants to respond to this.
As far as your comments about the things not being clear in this particular amendment, it refers to this article. This is section 4.3, so there's several other sections to this article. So I guess what I would say, Steve, is before we confirm or before we settle upon it not being clear, let's look at the rest of Article 4 to see, because I don't remember right off the top of my head, and this may be what Mitch is wanting to speak to, I don't know. But it may be laid out more clearly in other article or other sections of this particular article.
Mr. Chairman, two things. Steve, the purposes, and for those who don't know, I am now a trustee. The purposes are set forth earlier as being coincident with the purposes for the existence of the California Council of the Blind, which is, what, Article 2, I think. So the purposes for the trust are to serve the stipulated purposes in our Constitution. To your second point, we've had quite a bit of back and forth the last couple of years regarding the existence of the original document, and while I guess some efforts were made to get that, I have a plan which I think ultimately will succeed. That is, I'm going to start nagging the Secretary of State's office because they need to have archived that original document. We don't seem to have it. I intend to get it. Beyond that, we've had, and I haven't talked to really either Richard Retta or Kathy Skivers, who will be a trustee into January, but the reality is that in looking over this entire article, which I did at some length, the corpus, whether it's just the principal or if that includes the interest to date, cannot be touched without constitutional amendment. And I think that some clarification down the road and some streamlining of that process is going to be necessary. But before we do any more tinkering, we absolutely have to get the original document, and we will.
Any other discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the adoption of this amendment say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Abstentions, the ayes have it. The provision is adopted. Gabe?
Okay, and they've got me a new mic, so hopefully y'all will be able to hear me a little bit better. Yes, Donna, that was a y'all. That was just for Donna. Okay, Article 10, Board of Directors Composition. Current language, Section 10.4, all officers and directors shall be elected for two-year terms, subject, however, to the provisions set forth in this article. The president, first vice president, treasurer, and four directors shall be elected at the fall convention in each even-numbered year. The second vice president, the secretary, and five directors shall be elected at the fall convention in each odd-numbered year. The terms of officers and directors shall commence January 1 of the year following the adjournment of the convention at which their election occurs. Actions. Beginning with the word fall, delete it and the remainder of the section, that is, fall convention of each even-numbered year. The second vice president, the secretary, and five directors shall be elected at the fall convention of each odd-numbered year. The terms of officers and directors shall commence January 1 of the year following the adjournment of the convention at which their election occurs, and replace it with annual convention of each even-numbered year. The second vice president, the secretary, and five directors shall be elected at the annual convention of each odd-numbered year. The terms of officers and directors shall commence on July 1, immediately following the adjournment of the convention at which their election occurs. Add the following explanatory paragraph regarding the change to one conference per year and the need to adjust terms of office. Inasmuch as the council has acted to hold its conference and convention on an annual basis instead of the current semi-annual basis, the service length of those elected in the penultimate and ultimate conventions at which elections were or will be held under the current provisions shall have their terms adjusted accordingly. Those elected fall 2012 shall serve from January 1, 2013 through June 30, 2014. Those to be elected fall 2013 shall serve from January 1, 2014 through June 30, 2015. So the proposed language is Section 10.4, all officers and directors shall be elected for two-year terms, subject, however, to the provisions set forth in this article. The president, first vice president, treasurer, and four directors shall be elected at the annual convention of each even-numbered year. The second vice president, the secretary, and five directors shall be elected at the annual convention of each odd-numbered year. The terms of officers and directors shall commence on July 1, immediately following the adjournment of the convention at which their election occurs. Inasmuch as the council has acted to hold its conference and convention on an annual basis instead of the current semi-annual basis, the service length of those elected in the penultimate and ultimate conventions at which elections were or will be held under the current provisions shall have their terms adjusted accordingly. Those elected fall 2012 shall serve from January 1, 2013 through June 30, 2014. Those to be elected fall 2013 shall serve from January 1, 2014 through June 30, 2015. Okay, and that is the end of that resolution. The Constitution and Bylaws Committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Is there a second? Sorry. Okay. I guess I'm wondering, do we really put that explanatory material in the Constitution? It seems like it's very perishable. Like we should just put it in there for a year or something. Anyway, there's discussion, I understand. Who's there?
Yeah, Roger, I know we had some discussion, and that was the idea. We felt that for this year, so that there would be no confusion, we would include that language, and then we would simply, the following year, 2015, spring 2015, we would introduce an amendment simply deleting that explanatory language.
Okay. Any other discussion? So you get... What's going on here is that those of us who got elected last night are going to be serving 18 months instead of 2 years. And those who were elected last year, I didn't hear that.
Jeff said, in what prison are you serving at this time?
Well, they say... If you can't do the time, don't do the crime.
You didn't hear Roger. Say it again, Roger.
I said, I used to know a number of people who were in prison and had been, and they used to say, if you can't do the time, don't do the crime. And the people who were elected last year will be leaving office 6 months early this coming June instead of this coming June of next year instead of December of next year.
Hi, Mr. Chairman. This is Gloria Broderick. I'm just curious. I probably should know the answer to this question, but I don't. So are we only going to have conventions in the spring then?
Yes.
Because if we're having them in fall, July 1 would not work. So we're only having spring conventions from now on.
We're only having annual conventions, and they are going to occur at least for the time being, in the first part of the year, before June. All right, hearing no further discussion, all those in favor of the adoption of this amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Abstentions, the ayes have it. The provision is adopted. What else is it that you have, Mr. Chair?
give me just a second because yesterday's stuff is in a different document, so I don't know if you have anything else you can do for 30 seconds while this I pull one up.
I was going to say, I grabbed the microphone and I think, you know, yeah, we'll have a door prize. Yeah, Roger said I told you she was mean.
There it is. Change
do we have a door prize in the house? Oh, Ed's helping somebody get out the door. I guess we don't have... You know, if it, he's acting as security, is he throwing somebody out? Is that what Roger asked? Yeah. Oh, yeah, get him out of here. Throw him out. Yeah, Judy, I agree. Out, out. You know, and did he have his posse with him, too, when he went out? Is that? Oh, it was just him. Him and his imaginary... Oh. Is that Louie? Okay, no door prize because I have to answer Vita's question. What? Oh, the membership said no. They want a door prize. Okay.
And I'm ready whenever you're done with the
Should we
door
do
prize.
A cash prize of $25? And you know what? We'll even give you a... with a candy bar in it from Silicon Valley chapter. And we'll have Roger pick his name out of the till there. Oh, sorry. Did I say that?
Madam Chair, can we do a door prize and a question?
A door prize and a question? What's your question?
It's a, such a quick question.
Quick, fast.
Is there going to be a time for announcements this afternoon?
We'll have time for announcements before we adjourn the session, yes.
Thank you.
Greg Phelps, are you in the room? No. Roger, pick another one.
Roger, pick me.
Or, oh, wait a minute. Or should I say Greg Phelps going once, Greg Phelps going twice? No, he's not in the room. Next. Donna Sanchez, are you in the room? Yay! So it stays in the Silicon Valley Council of the Blind family because she is a member of SBCB. All right, Roger said yes. Gabe, are you ready or?
I are ready.
I are ready. Y'all get started. Go ahead.
Aren't you glad that I'm chairing the Constitution Committee? Okay. Maybe this is why I'm no longer secretary. Okay. We have several items within Article 8 and are proposing a new bylaw. And again, these are just for reading purposes, so I'll read the whole document. There will be no discussion today. We will read them again and have discussion and voting tomorrow. So the first item, original language, is Section 8.2. To apply for a... This is Article 8, Chapter Affiliation. So the original language is Section 8.2. To apply for affiliation with the California Council of the Blind, the group desiring to be affiliated shall submit to the president and treasurer of the council a copy of its constitution and a list of the names and addresses of its members. The officers of the group shall be indicated on the list. If the council, either in convention assembled or by action of the board of directors, approves the affiliation, the council president shall issue to the accepted group a certificate of affiliation. The proposed changes... After members and before the sentence beginning with if, do the following. Add and phone number, email address if any, format of choice, and vision status, i.e. blind, low vision, or sighted, and delete the officers of the group shall be indicated on the list. Insert a new sentence. An officer information sheet must be submitted, which includes all officers' names, addresses, phone numbers, and email addresses, if any, as well as information requested for the CCB website and CCB email discussion lists. So the new proposed language is Section 8.2, to apply for affiliation with the California Council of the Blind, the group desiring to be affiliated shall submit to the president and treasurer of the council a copy of its constitution and a list of the names, addresses, phone number, email address, if any, format of choice, and vision status, i.e. blind, low vision, or sighted, of its members. An officer information sheet shall be submitted, which includes all officers' names, addresses, phone numbers, and email addresses, if any, as well as information requested for the CCB website and CCB email discussion lists. If the council, either in a convention assembled or by action of the board of directors, approves the affiliation, the council president shall issue to the accepted group a certificate of affiliation. The next item is Section 8.6, and the original language is, each chapter of the council shall notify the council president of election results in writing after each chapter election or after any change of officers in such chapter. Proposed changes: at the end of the section, add, in accordance with the bylaws. So the proposed language is Section 8.2. Each chapter of the council shall notify the council president of election results in writing after each chapter election or after any change of officers in such chapter in accordance with the bylaws. The third change is Section 8.7, and the original language is, each chapter of the council shall send annually to the president and the treasurer of the council a list of the names and addresses of its members. Proposed changes: at the end of the section, add, along with their phone numbers, email addresses, if any, format choice, and site status. So the proposed language is Section 8.7, each chapter of the council shall send annually to the president and the treasurer of the council a list of the names and addresses of its members, along with their phone numbers, email addresses, if any, format choice, and site status. The fourth constitutional amendment is Section 8.9, and the original language is, each chapter shall elect a delegate who is a current voting member of the chapter to attend council conventions and cast the chapter's vote. The chapter may also elect an alternate delegate who is a current voting member of the chapter. The chapter shall provide its delegate and alternate delegate with a credential. Such credential must be submitted to the council president and treasurer at least 30 days prior to each CCB convention. No credential of a delegate or alternate delegate may be accepted unless the annual dues of the chapter seeking to be represented are paid. This section is subject to the provisions set forth in the council bylaws. Changes. At the end of the section, do the following. Delete this. This section is subject to the provisions set forth in the council bylaws. Add, along with the roster as required in section 8.7 and the officer information sheet required in the bylaws. Sorry, my dog was trying to go walk about there for a second. Proposed language, section 8.9, each chapter shall elect a delegate who is a current voting member of the chapter to attend council conventions and cast the chapter's vote. The chapter may also elect an alternate delegate who is a current voting member of the chapter. The chapter shall provide its delegate an alternate delegate with a credential. Such credential must be submitted to the council president and treasurer at least 30 days prior to each CCB convention. No credential of a delegate or alternate delegate may be accepted unless the annual dues of the chapter seeking to be represented are paid along with the roster as required in section 8.7 and the officer information sheet required in the bylaws. And the last item we have is a bylaw proposal. Original language. There is no original language. We're proposing to create a new bylaw number and written as follows. It will be bylaw 4, chapter officer information. Each chapter and affiliate shall submit an officer information sheet to the council office. This officer information sheet shall include the officer's name, phone number, mailing address, email address, if any, as well as information for the CCB website and CCB email discussion lists. This officer information sheet shall be submitted along with the roster and shall be updated within 30 days of any change in officers. That concludes the first reading of today's proposed amendments, and so I will turn it back over to, is it Roger chairing?
I think so.
Okay. Well, then I think I'll turn it back over to Roger.
So the bylaw change really didn't have to be read today, but since it goes along with the other things, I thought it'd make sense to read it all.
Especially since a couple of the articles referred to the bylaw that didn't exist before this.
And so this will come back tomorrow morning, I guess, to be enacted, at which time I won't be chairing.
We have someone on the floor who's asking for a point of information or clarification.
I guess that's... Legitimate? Go ahead.
Hi, this is Kathy Schmidt-Whitaker.
As long as you don't debate the article.
No, I am not going to debate it. This is Kathy Schmidt-Whitaker, and my point of information or clarification is I would like to know what is the, and I'm not sure the correct word, so please work with me here. Policy or what is the intent of the use of information of officers on the website? So is there a standard practice of what information, officer information is listed on the website? That is my question, because it is relevant to this proposal.
Yeah, it says, along with the information that we need for the website. I don't have that information right now. And I'm not sure where that information is, actually. What if we... sorry. What?
Vita has her hand up.
Okay, Vita. Oh, Vita's a good person to ask about the website.
What would Vita know about the website?
The officer and information sheet specifically says what phone number or email address and or you would like to use for the website, and you can say none. You can say, it is not a requirement. However, keep in mind that your chapter needs a contact person. So that's my comment there. While I have the mic, can I do also a clarification?
Actually, yes. Hold on 1 second.
Yes.
Because I need to further speak to Kathy's point of clarification. I get a number of calls, and so does the Sacramento office, from a lot more people are visiting our web environment now, and they want to be able to contact chapters directly. So it's also for purposes of that as well. And Vita, you're asking for a point of clarification?
Yes, please. Several times in the document, it said that items would be sent to the council president and council treasurer. Are we now requiring chapters and affiliates to send to two locations, not the CCB office?
I think in practice, you send things to the president or the treasurer, care of the office. We're getting awfully close to debating this, I think. How about if we talk about this tomorrow? What do you think?
I second that.
Yeah, I don't, Roger, I don't think this is a debate. I think that it's streamlined, and I think that we might want to consider, instead of the information going to the president and the treasurer, that it go to the secretary, again, care of the CCB office.
That would be another amendment.
Well, that's because I was thinking them before you said them.
Well, yeah, that's debate accepted. And, you know, it's tomorrow. We can talk about that tomorrow, and we could actually change it tomorrow because it's a bylaw without, you know, waiting another day or another convention.
As far as the chapter notification after an electric, this is Gigi DeMarie from the Redwood Empire chapter. My question has to do with the notification. Is this notification due after the election or after the date that the office is effective?
This is.
In other words, the question was you have to send the report in within 30 days. I'd just like the clarification of which 30-day period are you speaking of.
Mr. Chair, point of order.
Okay. Yes,
It seems to me that these questions are falling really close to debate and would be better off during a debate section after the second reading tomorrow.
Okay.
I would like order on the floor.
Really close to debate.
Please. Okay. I realize that we get all, passionate about these things.
And actually, can I clarify my
yes,
previous statement?
Yes, Mr. Chair, please.
I believe the Constitution doesn't say debate. It says no discussion. I would submit that discussion includes questions.
Yeah. Well, there's, that's gray about these points of information and clarification, but we are really getting close to debating the issue, I think. Now, you're finished for now, right, Gabe?
I am finished.
Okay. So we will release the chair for now, and we will see him again tomorrow morning. The next item, which is still an item of internal business, on this convention is the CCB report, which is the annual report that the president gives to you. And for that purpose, I recognize the president of CCB, Donna Pomerantz.
This is the last report that I will be giving until we turn 80 next year. But I'm not going to turn 80. The council is older than I am, so. Roger reminded me of that, so that's true. It's been interesting. I have been sharing with the staff of the hotel all weekend and in the training that I gave that we are very, very pleased to be here and that we're also excited about next year because next year we turn 80. And when they heard this in our trainings, when I've spoken to people about it individually, they are just blown away. Turning 80 and continuing to do that which we do is a huge accomplishment in these days and times. So I think that first we need to give everybody, the CCB is each and every one of us, please, a huge applause for the 79 years of work we have done. We have been very, very busy. Those of you who were at session yesterday heard one of our latest victories in what is going to be the start of what I think is a lengthy journey. In relation to full and equal access to what is our right to an independent voting experience that's fully accessible for those of us who are blind and visually impaired. This, we were at a hearing just recently before Judge Spiro, and in a nutshell, part of our legal team from Disability Rights Advocates basically received a favorable decision because Alameda County wanted our case to be dismissed. And basically what they were saying was, and these are my words, I'm paraphrasing, but basically what they said was that it is okay for the county, you know, they're doing great because they have accessible voting equipment in every precinct on election day. However, if the equipment doesn't work, well, they always have someone there to read to us, and that should be okay. That's what they were trying to say, that it would be okay. And yes, you have to have a machine there, but it doesn't necessarily have to work. Wow. I have to tell you that when I was in that courtroom that day, in Judge Spiro's room, when he was questioning the attorneys for the county, he kept trying to get them to say, so you mean that people who are blind and visually impaired, well, there's always someone there to read for the, you know, to them, so that's okay. Everyone else in society can have independent, full, and complete access to voting, but if a person is blind and the machine doesn't work, well, there's someone to read, it's okay. And you know, the attorney was a bit, I think a little squirming. And I had to sit on my hands because I was in the second row, because inside me, I was going, get him, get him, get him. And I smiled and I nod my head so that I could be engaged. But inside, I was just, and we were very fortunate to receive a favorable decision in that that case was not dismissed. And Judge Spiro basically said, yes, we do deserve that independent and equal access on Election Day. So we were very, very fortunate, and that was the start of what I see as a wonderful victory for our community that has national ramifications as we move forward through this process. So that was some wonderful news that we've received and some of what's been done this year. Several plaintiffs in that case are CCB members and are actually here this weekend. So stay tuned to hear for more positive results as we continue to move forward in that process. But I don't know about you, but I'm excited about the day when I can go into my precinct and vote on accessible voting equipment and not have to worry about it not working. Yes, I am excited about that. And you should be too. Because all over the state of California, we all know we've had those experiences in our county where it hasn't worked. And we're not saying that the workers aren't kind, that the workers haven't been nice, the poll workers. They have been. But technology being what it is today, it needs to be tested ahead of time, and it needs to work for us when we get there to use it. We continue, as was stated, to work with Kaiser and other entities for full and equal access. We've been successful in receiving positive decisions so that we as women and some men shopping for their partners at Lane Bryant, we have full and accessible point of sale machines so we can go shop there too. That's a wonderful thing for us. We have been working, and our representatives on statewide coalitions, such as IHSS coalitions, voting coalitions, through the work of Jeff Tom, through the work of other members here in the council, our voices are being heard, and we are being represented. In these times, we are in a period of changes all around us, some for the better and some that bring a lot of concern and uncertainty to us. But nevertheless, we are still there, reminding folks that we too need full and equal access to our environment. We have now a very strong and concrete process for scoring candidates as we go through their applications for scholarship. That is in large part thanks to Robert Wendt, Christy Crespin, Jerry Consler, Vince Calderon, Dr. Martin Jones, and unfortunately, Pat LaFrance Wolf was in that process with us when we started moving toward this new environment. I think that it is very exciting because the process was a little daunting for some in the beginning, But the way that this committee came together and put forward this process with these tools so that, you know, our students have scores attached to each of their questions. I think our scholarship committee this year really got to know their students in a very good way, the folks that they chose this year. So the process continues to be improved. I have been informed, talk about action, that our scholarship committee is going to be coming before the board with a proposal. Because currently, as a result of how the process is, several of the students who were awarded scholarships this year were very excited about coming to the conference and convention. But as the policy currently exists, it states that we reimburse students after they pay their expenses. And that's very difficult for them. And I am very pleased that the scholarship committee chair and vice chair came to me and said, we need to talk about this, because it was very, very sad when our students were excited and then said they couldn't come because they couldn't afford it. So CCB board, look forward to a proposal coming your way very soon. I'm excited about that. We have some of those students who are already wanting to be active with the chapters in their local areas. So this is exciting. Several of our scholarship committee members have been in regular contact with these students. So I believe that new partnerships are being formed. And this is a good thing, investing in our future and working to bring our students here to our convention. So I'm hoping they will be with us to help us celebrate our 80th in our spring convention next year. We have had a CCB Mutt Strut now for 3 years in a row. And this year, as was stated earlier, I think all of our regions have definitely hit some very good and positive milestones. And I'll say, Vita, I was very excited about hearing your question about, can we secure a park, if at all possible, 3 years, for 3 years in advance? That's good and forward thinking. And that is exciting to me. We are now moving. This is our last year of having two conference and conventions. We are now moving, beginning on our 80th birthday year, to one conference and convention. This is definitely uncertain territory. Some are very nervous about this move. Some are very excited about this move. Change is definitely something that is, you know, some of us are excited about change and others get very nervous. But I believe that I have heard a number of ideas from different people about what they want to do when next year comes, and even before. I'm sure that some wonderful things were shared at the membership meeting and throughout this weekend as all of you have come in contact with each other directly and in person. So when we turn 80, we're definitely moving into new territory. What is it they say about, just because you turn 80 doesn't mean we have a program in L.A. That's called Seniors on the Move. And it made me think of CCB because we're turning 80, but we are definitely on the move. Yes, we are. The board is looking at a number of different things. The board is finishing up a strategic plan that has been broken up into four groups. In this strategic plan, as we have the four groups, we are going to be coming to you and inviting you to assist this board in implementing that plan, because it's a plan for the California Council of the Blind. It's not just a plan for the board. It's a plan for all of us. So within the next, I would say toward the beginning of the year, maybe even before the end of this year, we will definitely be coming and calling upon some of you to help us move this forward, because it'll take each and every one of us. I guess what I would wish to share is that we have definitely started a number of new things, and we are working. Now, was that Siri? Did it say, it sounded like it said, Massachusetts, where are you? What did it say? At least that's what I heard. Was that a sign? A sign of what? I don't know. Oh. Please turn your phones off or put them on vibrate. Massachusetts, where are you? That's what I heard anyway. Oh, Debbie Kessler, where are you? Poor Debbie. My goodness. Okay. Yes, she got her Braille display back. Yes, we're happy about that. Roger was worrying about Debbie getting her Braille display back, so this is a good thing. Yes. So, I know. I'm not going to repeat that on the microphone, what Roger just said. We are going to be moving toward... tonight we're going to be having our banquet, and we are going to be having a blast. We're going to be having another trivia under the leadership of Frank Welty, and there'll be lots of spirited competition. And we have, or should I say I have, because I don't, I hope it's still secret. This I've kept a secret. You'll find out tonight, though. A very special prize for the winner of the trivia. So you tables, no iPhones, but compete with spirit. Okay. Now, Roger says he's having a dilemma because he has to figure out which table to sit at now. I have tried as much as I feel that I'm able to do so from all my heart to respect the history that we have as the council, because I truly do believe and respect the history of who we are, where we've come from. A lot of the things that we as people who are blind and visually impaired have today, we have as a result of advocacy from the past and current advocacy as well. So history is very important to me. But it's also very important to me that we continue to move forward as well in our current times. And we need to do a bit of searching. Folks say, you know, well, we need the young people, or we need more members, or we have to do this, or, you know, we need to bring in that, and we need to pay for this, and so on and so forth. Some of that we definitely do. Someone mentioned yesterday at our president's dinner, I hope folks that were there enjoyed the mini time with the candidates, hearing from them before elections. And I hope that folks enjoyed being able to read about those candidates on the website ahead of time with statements that they submitted themselves. One of the things that's very important as we move to one conference and convention is we need to get to know those who we are going to be electing into office ahead of time as much as we can. Because now we're going to do it all at one conference and convention. There isn't going to be that in-between time between conventions anymore. And that is why I wanted to have candidate statements. And that is why I did this little experiment yesterday and had the candidates speak to anyone who wished to come to the president's dinner. Several members in my chapter said, well, it was a bit difficult, you know, to choose because we don't know them. And other members in the chapter said, we had the candidate statement so we could see if what they talked about, you know, we agreed with. So that's part of moving forward as well. I want to share with you something a bit, well, from the heart. I really believe in this organization. Some people say they get a bit annoyed when I refer to us as the CCB family. Other people say we are. Sometimes friends and people within the CCB are all that other people have because they don't have immediate family anymore for whatever reasons, or folks are far away. We also are a business. How can you be a family in a business? Maybe it's the family business. Yes, yes. We definitely have been dealing with a lot more as we are a 501c3 within the state of California. Some of these things that we are asking and have asked of you that folks have been very good at saying, well, we've never had to do that before, and we don't need to do that. Well, We kind of sort of do. Because again, nonprofits, when our auditors come in, they ask for things at random. We don't always know which rosters they're going to ask for. We don't always know, you know, how many of our ledgers they're going to want to look at, et cetera, et cetera. But we give them everything that they want to see. So things are getting a bit more strict. And I'm very pleased to say that for the past 3 years that I've been involved with our treasury, with our auditors, et cetera, with our accountant, our CPA, our marks get a little better and better. But then some of you get a little more angrier and angrier with me as well, because I'm asking for a lot more. But I think that's also part of the reason that we are having improvements. Each and every one of us contribute to that in what we do. And I know I'm oversimplifying, but that's the way it is. I am wanting to thank each and every one of you for the sacrifices, for the contributions, for the gifts that you have shared and continue to share with the CCB. Some of you are spending many, 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 many hours doing the multiple things that you are doing to contribute to moving the CCB forward. And some of you may think that I've been a bit hard on you, that I expect a lot. We're all only volunteers, is what I hear sometimes, and we are. But not only, we are volunteers and we are sharing our gifts because we all believe in CCB and what we want it to do. I want to say that I want to thank each and every one of you. For putting up with me for this time. Because I expect so much, and what I expect, I also expect that of myself. One of the things that I have always, always kept in the forefront of all my thinking is that each and every one of us is equal. Someone said something yesterday when I was making the announcement of the badges, and I thought it was very sweet, and it touched my heart a great deal. Someone said, well, you know, there was a comment about, well, if she doesn't have her badge, you know, everyone knows who she is. If she doesn't have her badge, she could still vote. Guess what? If I didn't have my badge, I believe that I need to do exactly the same thing that each and every one of you do. And if I forget my badge, I'm not voting unless I go up to my room and go and get it before we come back. That is the organization that we are. And when we struggle with credentials and seating, right? That's a tough one because there are a bit more requirements that are here. When someone says, well, you know, I'm not going to be able to do it because, you know, our group isn't meeting for a week after, and I'm pulling amount of time out of, you know, out of the hat, so to speak, to paraphrase. And they say, we're one of the largest chapters in the state. We'll be seated. Well, you will be seated if you meet your deadline, because if the smallest chapter in the state gets their materials in on time, they will be seated. We are all equal. We are all equal. And we all have our struggles. I know that. Life happens. Our technology fights with us. We might have been using Windows XP and the darn thing broke and we had to move to Windows 8 or 7 or whatever. And we fight with these forms, but guess what? You're not alone. There's help. There's help. I'm going to close with sharing with you today Windows 7, okay. Sharing with you today that I will not be running for another term as your president next year. And I told myself I'd be strong. I'm doing it by choice. I would really like to continue, but and to the people who know me, I've put this organization before everything else because that's how much I care. That's just who I am, for better, for worse, a character flaw. There's so much that has to be done. But it's beginning. Well, it is. It's not beginning. It is impacting my health. And there are things that I need to do so that I can continue doing the things that I enjoy doing. And I need to put myself first. And that's a difficult thing for me to do. Because I see our potential. And all of you have taught me a great deal. And I care about this organization a great deal. But I'm letting you all know this today. Because we need to look to see what we are going to do for next year. And I know there are capable people here. But I want to end with this. I still plan, hopefully, on being here. I will be immediate past president. So you'll definitely be hearing from me. I hope to focus maybe on a few specific projects rather than the full oversight of the organization, which is definitely 24/7 for me right now. But I want to leave you with this. We're turning 80 next year. We're moving into a new era. I want you to think about the people that you will be electing into office, into the offices that will be open next year. Think about who they are, what they stand for. All of you are very, very smart. Think about, have they always treated me the way they're treating me now? Or are they doing this because they want something? I'm saying that because the thing that I've struggled with the most in being president of this organization has been when someone will say something to one person or to me, and they will say that they are a consensus builder and that they care about the whole and so on and so forth. But then I directly witness them trying to cause strife and division and hurt. Folks, we're moving forward. We need to come together. We need to unite, and we need to be strong, honest, open, and have integrity. And we all need to come together, and we will, and we'll move forward. And all of you are very smart, and you can see who has integrity and respect and who cares about the organization rather than caring about their ego and self-promotion. Thank you, everyone. Let's move together next year, and let's find a great successor as president of CCB.
I knew she could do it. See, I knew what she was going to say, and I knew that she was going to cry and everything. Madam Chair, are we going to do any door prizes or anything, or are we just going to?
Let's do a door prize or two.
Let's do a door prize or two. And we have, oh yes, announcements. Folks, get your announcements ready if you have them.
I do. Yes, you are. Cease can.
Jean Lozano. Going to get some candy, I understand. You be careful with that candy now. It's addictive stuff. Okay, one more door prize. $25 from San Francisco chapter. That's me again. I don't think I'm very lucky. Well, maybe I'm lucky. I don't know. Try this one. Monique Brannon? I don't think she's here. Is Don Brown here? I think not. Susan Hyatt. The Silicon Valley chapter has been doing pretty well this afternoon.
We have announcements now, I guess.
Huh? Announcements. Okay, we are ready for announcements. Who has an announcement? Do we have people standing? I don't know.
Good afternoon, everyone. Speaking of integrity and moving forward and doing the very best you can, not letting people break your spirit, GDUC had a very grueling but successful business meeting this morning. And between 4 and 4:15, we will be at the registration table, CCB registration table, ready for your dues. Come and join us. Help us rebuild GDUC. Thank you.
Who else?
This is Ed Crespin. I want to thank all those who supported the Active Blind Indian Valley chapter. We did sell all our 50-50 raffle tickets. We gained $208, and whoever is the lucky winner is going to get $104 at the banquet.
Hi, this is Gigi DeMarie, and I actually belong to two chapters. I belong to the San Francisco Bay Area chapter. I've introduced myself as from the Redwood Empire chapter because I'm selling the calendars for our chapter, and I'm down to the last two. $12 for large print, huge calendars, so see me soon. Thank you.
Gigi.
Christy Crespin, just wanted to remind people that Active Blind Inland Valley's chapter is having the 50-50 drawing tonight at the banquet.
Okay, I'm the one that Donna announced that has lost her cane. I still have not gotten it back, and I am a high partial legal blind. I need a cane to get back home. So if anyone sees it, please bring it to the hotel desk. Thank you.
She's hoping to get this one back, you know, unlike the one that she dropped in the ocean. Okay, well.
Just a friendly reminder to all my fellow guide dog users out there that when you're out in the good, friendly relief area with all our buddies socializing, remember to pick up. Thank you.
Yeah. Pick it up. Pick it up.
There's a camera up there.
One more now.
One more?
Donna Sanchez, I do have an extra cane because I will be using my dog. If you don't find your cane, I'm in room 724, and you're welcome to have mine temporarily.
Isn't that nice? Okay, well, we are after 4 o'clock. It's time for the committee meetings, the Hearing and Sight Impaired Committee. Governmental affairs, I think, and fundraising. So you've got some time before the banquet. You can go to one of these meetings. And so we will see you tomorrow. We are in recess until tomorrow morning.